I'm Reggie.
And I'm Brian.
And this is R&B Talks.
Our first B-second R&B Talks. I'm digging it. Reggie, the election is over.
We are unburdened by the
election. We have seen our dreams and aspirations come to light.
Can I just tell you, I probably shouldn't enjoy this as much as I do, but hearing some TikTok, seeing some TikTok video of some liberal just crying and melting down over the election results is just...
All right.
I don't know, for some reason, it's very satisfying.
There is a video. Okay, so let's start with this, man. We're going to go right into this.
Right into it.
All right, so look, man. All right, I get it, right? You really wanted her to be president. I can go along with that. But I have heard some of the most impossibly asinine things, Reggie, in the last 2 days.
Yep.
So let's go over some of them.
Let's go.
I don't know if I'm going to wake up in the morning and have any rights.
Yeah.
Number two, I might wake up tomorrow a slave. I'm sorry I'm smiling.
Oh.
But that might be the most ridiculously donkulous thing I've ever heard in my life.
All LGBTQ will now get rounded up and put into camps.
Of course. The View, today, there was a yelling match on The View between the, I don't know, all the liberal hosts, even the one that says she's conservative but acts liberal. They all were fighting. How are you going to fight amongst yourselves? You all hated Trump. You all hated Republicans. You all hated conservatives. You all were on the same page. And then all of a sudden she loses and y'all won't hurt each other.
Okay, look, here's the deal. When you make no sense whatsoever, then you make no sense whatsoever.
Amen, brother. Amen.
So, to that. I mean, it's just that there you go. I mean, so the thing is, like, I stayed up until 3:30 in the morning, Eastern time. Election night. It wasn't really because I really, it got to a point and it was like, okay, it looks like he's going to get Pennsylvania. Cause once whoever got Pennsylvania was going to win. So I was like, okay, the probabilities are keep going up. I'm good. And so, I was like, cool. But then I just kept thinking about the 2020 election and how there was so much fishy nonsense and errors and this and that. And so, and I'm like, surely some state's going to say, well, we screwed up. We got a recount or, you know, it was like all this stuff, but no, it was actually pretty smooth, dude. Not to say there wasn't some things, but like, I mean, you know, overall that was like surprising to be like, not see as much nonsense as we did last time. You know, we didn't have people getting thrown out of the counting places that were of a particular political body. We didn't have video of like people throwing away votes and all this stuff or a multitude of them, not just one or two. But so anyway, it was interesting to say the least, but I don't know, man. It was just interesting to see the an actual election that go the way you think.
I'd like to start here. If you don't mind, Reggie, well, I'd like to take a moment.
I was speaking.
I know, but this is burning in my soul.
Okay. Burn. Okay. I do not want your soul to be burnt any longer.
I say this, I'll be a satisfied man.
Okay.
All right. So I want to talk to all of you pale, non-patriotic goober celebrities for just a second. I want to talk about the Samuel L. Jacksons and the Shares and the Whoopi Goldbergs and the Miley Cyruses and the Bryan Cranstons and the Billy Joe Armstrongs and so many more that I can't name. Robert De Niro. You made a threat that if Trump got in office, you were going to leave for the U.S. Bye. Let's be clear. And this is how I feel about this. And the reason
can we pitch in for tickets?
Sure. I will start a GoFundMe page.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's crowd share that.
But let me be serious, Frank. And the reason I say this is I take this super seriously in the sense that, let's be clear, none of you people that I just mentioned or anybody that might be on that list has done anything that will extend the future of our country. Yes, you're great entertainers and singers and actors, but if you were to never act or sing again, the world would still spin. And let me be clear, the men and women of our military are far more important than you will ever be in your self-obsessed mind, Barbra Streisand. So if your patriotism and your love of country is so pale that you don't want to stay in the country that made you millionaires, that made you rich beyond your wildest dreams, that gave you opportunities that you will get in no other country, get out.
No.
Sorry. Get out.
It's just from it's a propagandist statement like that, dude.
I know, but
I'm famous. You guys love me. So if this happens, I'm gone. You know, that's a very like, you know, tit for tat kind of thing. Oh, if you do this, I'm doing this kind of thing.
Later. So, bye. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, dude, I don't.
Anyway, you know. I'm sorry. That's the only part of this that really made me mad. So I'm good. You know, y'all can leave.
That's not what I don't really care about that because I don't really care about the celebrities, dude.
I care because I think it was an intentional move to try to sway the election to make these domineering. I think you intentionally attempted to sway the voter because you're weak. And at the end of the day, all the money that you've made and all the fame and celebrity that you've piled up, you have no more sense nor wisdom nor ability to control yourself than to spout garbage like that. Just go. Just go. Wherever you want to go.
But here's the thing, man. There's going to be idiots everywhere. Yeah. You can't get rid of idiocy, dude.
But I can take the idiots on the street who are just willfully ignorant, and I can ignore them because willful ignorance is... For most people, is just part of their everyday life now. These people are not willfully ignorant.
But here's the problem. You still have this ignorance thing is even from these people who are supposed to be smart. Again, even today, saying, "Well, I didn't vote for the felon, the rapist, the racist," kind of stuff.
Yeah,
they're still throwing that the fascist. Saying that about Trump, even though there's no evidence to any of that. Is he a felon?
Technically, yes, but he's still fighting it. Actually, I would say no, because he's still fighting it.
He's still in court. It's going to get thrown. And they've already said that they can't, it'll hold up an appeal. I don't know.
Yeah,
all I'm saying is like, he hasn't raped anybody. He's not a racist. I mean, all of these things are they look, if you can't see past this, and this goes to these people who say, "I'm only going to trust the professional journalism," but without acknowledging that there isn't problems in the mainstream media, that's like you really have a blinder on, right? That's the same person you're talking about who will look at a celebrity and go, "Oh, they're voting for such and such, then I must vote." That's the same kind of person, dude.
Yeah. Unfortunately. You know, here's where I'm at. I don't know how you guys could get much more of what you want. All right. So, yes, Trump got elected president. But he is literally making a dream team of Democrats, independents, and Republicans working together for the betterment of the country. I don't necessarily know how this could be better in any way. And to make blatantly, obviously ridiculous statements like, "I might be a slave when I wake up in the morning," or I might wake up and not have any rights," or, you know, "Women are, you know,
there's a stormtrooper coming after.
There's a stormtrooper coming to my house, going to take me off to an internment camp." When has that ever happened in the United States?
Well, in our lifetime.
You know, now if you lived in Germany and made those statements, I might be able to draw a line of relevance.
Well,
simply because of Germany's history.
Or if you were a squirrel.
Yeah. A squirrel.
You didn't hear about that?
I'm sorry, I got hung. Oh, the dude, they kicked in and killed the dude squirrel?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Or if you're a squirrel, you're in trouble right now. You should
if you have a pet squirrel.
You're in trouble.
They're going to put your squirrel in an internment camp. They're going to give it a shot and sing it to sleep.
That was stupid to you.
Dude, but, that was so bad.
I mean, it's just dumb. Like, why are you wasting resources on me?
Why did you send the Gestapo? Why did you send the Gestapo to kick homeboy's door down and take his squirrel? What was his squirrel doing?
There was more to it than that. I just remember thinking, what?
You know, went after a squirrel.
But it was so getting back to it.
There's so much to this. It's hard to focus on one thing.
The thing is, like, right with the, I think people got to chill. If you only look at politics as the only vehicle for change and only vehicle to make your life different, then yeah, this should be devastating. This should devastate you.
This should be the end of your existence.
It goes back to like your identity and like what you choose to form who you are. And like, if it's so shallow to have it be ideals of all this physical world nonsense stuff that has no bearing or nor permanency.
Yeah.
You're just missing out. I mean, it's just utterly ignorant again.
I don't know, man. I'm, and here's the thing, you know, 61 million people voted for Kamala Harris. That's a lot of people.
I'm flabbergasted that we would live in a country where that many people would vote for an incompetent buffoon of a candidate.
Well, I'm not, because I mean, if you look at a lot of the races that have gone over the last 25 years, 30 years, there's been a lot of guys who we didn't think would get a lot of votes and they wound up coming in here. I mean, for the love of Pete, we all know who Joe Biden was, and he got over 80 million votes.
But he didn't.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying they're legitimate or not legitimate, Reggie, but there's 80 million. He got over 80 million votes. So I'm not shocked. What I'm shocked about is he took Pennsylvania and Michigan. He didn't. There were Georgia. Some swing states that we knew he was going to take. I knew he was going to take Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, you
could. All the polls read the same way he took Georgia the last time. So I thought he was going to take Georgia. But I thought for sure we would lose Pennsylvania in a close battle. And I thought we would lose Michigan in a close battle, too. But he took Gretchen Whitmer's state, which I find to be just tasty.
Dude, the Amish were rolling out to vote, bro.
That's right.
I saw that with like the carriages and I'm like, holy, you know, things are getting down to the wire. If you got the Amish coming out to vote, bro,
they roll up gangster in the four wheel buggy,
bro,
with all the Jeremiahs and Jedediahs packed up in the back to vote. Yes, sir. That's right, man. I mean, but that just goes to show too, that there are a lot of silent. There are a lot of people that don't want to participate in political rhetoric.
Dude, we're just assholes. So we just talk.
Yeah, we just enjoy poke. I like to poke the bear. I'm not gonna lie. Reggie will tell you. I don't mind poking the bear. If I hear a ridiculous conversation, I'm sliding into that conversation just to poke the bear. Because if you're gonna say something ridiculous, I need you to back it up. But anyway, I think what won this for Trump, number one, was of course, the last 21 days, Obama calling all black men misogynists because they didn't want to vote for a woman, which was mistake number one, which is, I think, is directly correlated to them losing as much of the black vote as they lost. Then you had, of course, Joe running out there with half the country's garbage, baby. And I told my wife when he said that, I was like, there went your election right there. And then the night before the election, when Joe Rogan comes out and endorses Donald Trump, I looked over at the person I was sitting next to and I said, election over.
Well, he had Musk on.
Yeah.
And I must, again, I've watched more Joe Rogan this past like week before the election, I know, than ever.
Well, you got to give the guy credit,
because like, I usually
for the trifecta.
I don't have time to watch a 3-hour show or whatever. Yeah. I can only catch clips here and there, and then I end up not even watching all of it. Right. Yeah. But I do listen to him quite often. But it's only, like I said, it's only clips here and I watch a little bit. But I watched the entire Trump interview. I watched the entire JD Vance interview. I watched the entire Elon Musk interview.
Well, think about it. Here, go down the list.
I mean,
in the last 25 episodes, Joe Rogan has had RFK, Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk, Donald Trump, and J.D. Vance. He essentially had the entirety of the cabinet that Donald Trump is going to put into place.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing that what this should tell everybody. There's over 100 million combined views of Joe Rogan's Trump interview, right?
Yeah.
Millions of views. I mean, of the Vance. I mean, all these things have garnered way more than the actual screen time of the news now.
Yeah.
Right? So this has what this election has done is dramatically changed the vehicles for election material the next time around.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I believe this with all my heart and soul. I believe that legacy media is dead.
Oh, dude, and this is what really flabbergasts me when people say I'll trust the professional journalists. Well, Tucker Carlson's a professional journalist. He's been doing it for a long time.
Megyn Kelly's a professional journalist.
I mean, okay, you are not like even Joe Rogan, dude. You can really. And Sean Ryan and some of these other guys.
I would say that Nick Freitas, all those guys, in my opinion, are professional journalists.
That's what they're doing. But here, okay, getting back to this, though. If you're going to rail and say, I'm only going to trust the mainstream media, well, how much more evidence do you need that they are led by and promote one side over the other and deliberately do it? I mean, between the Twitter stuff that Elon Musk had put out about how they were influencing social media, about how Zuckerberg's come out and said the same thing about Facebook, about, and then how you have there's six daggone big companies that own 90% of the media in the world.
Yeah.
And all of them are left wing donators and stuff like this.
And there's only one major news outlet in the world that's not owned by the left, and that's Fox News.
But even them, I don't like.
They're Fox not News left. Either. They're just.
I just don't like them. But
yeah, I don't like.
But either. What I'm saying is though, is like, and then you can look at if you actually want to know about propaganda, and you study and you just at least know what it is and see and just look out for it. And you can look at the headlines and how they're portraying stuff in the papers like the New York Times and the Washington Post and all this stuff. You could just, it's really obvious once you just pick up on it, right? They'll use the same descriptors for each story. The headlines will be exuberant. They'll twist. They'll actually put and edit out clips of things in order to have this devastating sensationalist opinion that we've already talked about propaganda to death. But what I'm saying is though, if the independent media that if you watch those, it's unedited, unscripted. I mean, like the Joe Rogan thing was, there was no paper that they were reading from, nothing. It was a real conversation.
Well, and here's what's impressive. And a couple of things. Number one, we know that Rogan is not slanted because Rogan had Fetterman on in all this. And I listened to that episode and Fetterman was, I have a different respect for Fetterman, right? He's fighting a unique battle within his party. He's not hard left. And he's trying to survive in a party all while trying to recover from a stroke and trying to make a difference. And, you know, so I know they're not slanted, but if you listen to the Tulsi Gabbards and the Elons, the thing that's impressive about them is that Rogan asked them about all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of
things. And they could all speak eloquently on those things. And the J.D. Vance one especially, when Rogan started talking about psychotropic drugs for veterans, for Vance, as a veteran, to sit up and go, you know, I don't know a lot about this, Joe. Tell me more. That's very telling for someone who's running to be the sitting vice president to say, you know what? I'm not educated on this, Joe, so help me out.
Right? Yeah, dude, but here's the thing. Do I think Trump is the our absolute best we can put forward as a president? No. Do I think he was the only way really to go in this election? Yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Here's what I do think. J.D. Vance is going to be the next presidential nominee of the Republican Party.
That's the whole purpose of this is Trump to That's groom it. Him to That's become it. The next vice to next president.
Here's what of the they're United doing. States. And look, here's the thing. I'm very skeptical. So let me just put this out here.
He is, guys. I can tell you.
I will tell you that I still have doubts in my mind about Trump and not being part of the global cabal that he might be, being as he is wealthy enough and well-connected enough to be in that global cabal. So there is that. Let me just put that out there.
Yes.
This could entirely be
shenanigans.
Yeah. I mean, dude, there's still a possibility of that. I think it's rather unlikely that his, what he's going to do and how he's going to do it because of what he actually did during his first presidency. So I'm relying on this, but here's the deal. He's put together his transition team and all this stuff to make all, I mean, RFK Jr. is now going to reorganize the FDA, the CDC, NIH, and the USDA, those four organizations.
Yep.
And Elon Musk is going to do an efficiency audit of the frickin' government, dude.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to see some fat get cut.
And then you have Tulsi Gabbard that's going to come in and do some, what'd you say, secretary?
I think they said she's going to be, he's thinking about putting her as secretary.
Think about it. I don't think he's done
it. I don't think he's announced that yet.
But what I'm saying is,
kind of the, what's in the ether.
This is all huge undertakings.
Yeah. These are Democrats, folks. They're not Republicans.
Well, but the problem is they better deliver on this.
Well, here's something else I'll tell you.
They got to do.
And you and I talked about this. The first time around, he was kind of—he
didn't think he was going to win.
He was like a track runner trying out for baseball. Like he was playing really hard, but he didn't have all his players in place, right? Like he did 4 years and did pretty good, and didn't have. He had a lot of people around him that were giving him bad information. He said that in the Joe Rogan interview, that he just wasn't getting what he needed. So instead of waiting to get a transition team handed to him, this time around, he built his own transition team because he wanted people around him that he could trust, that when he said, hey, what should I do here, that he's not going to get a bunch of sycophants mm-hmm. who are trying to save jobs and trying to look good or trying to make a buck off of vilifying him. He's got people around him that clearly understand him and the mission he's on, and they're trying to make this a transition to where when day one happens that he can say, let's go. And I'm telling you, and I might make a fool of myself for saying this, and I hope I don't, but I got a feeling as good as he did in his first 4 years, he will do three times better in this 4 years.
I know. And I mean, look, I've seen some of the tech stuff, especially when he talked about homeschoolers.
Yeah.
And he said, look, if you homeschool your kids, you should get a substantial amount of tax credit back yeah. to you because all this stuff. Okay.
You're paying you're just because you're not sending your kid to public school doesn't mean you're not educating.
Yeah. Right? And I mean, the other thing was like, and he talks, you know, during the Rogan interview where he talked about tariffs and all this stuff. Dude, I'm telling you what, if he cuts people's income tax or like if he does what he wants to do with that. Holy cow. Now, look, now here's the thing. Here's what I want to make sure everybody understands this. I don't know enough about tariffs and enough about the way that all works to say like, ooh, that's a great idea. I of course don't want an income tax, but and when he was comparing, I just want to make this point. He was making, when he was talking about, you know, in the 1890s and stuff, when they did this, you know, this is a drastically different economic landscape and a drastically Absolutely. Different, the way currency and money and trade is working. So I don't know, but I guess the point is if he's looking at this stuff though, at mm-hmm. least he's looking for it. The other thing about RFK Jr. for me is that his whole career has been based on prosecuting and going after corrupt
politician
corporations, all this sure. kind of stuff. Like he's made, that's his thing. So I don't know if I fully, like, I'm not a full of JFK Jr. like fan or anything, but I like what he said. I like what he wants to do. I think he can do it.
Yeah.
Elon Musk. Okay. Anybody who says he's a security risk is a moron.
Is an idiot.
Is a flat out moron.
Yeah.
Okay. He has to go, his whole company they're under the strictest guidelines by the
Federal Trade Commission.
Yes, and Department of Defense too. They're because they are considered a high Like they're like the highest level of contracting as far as military things can happen.
Yes.
Because of the way they can do rockets and everything else.
Yeah.
He has to fall under all that stuff. Everybody that works for him that does this stuff has to fall under all
even
this stuff.
Even X is
yes.
under the Federal Trade Commission overseen.
Well, right? But so here's what I'm saying. So the fact that you would say that means A, you just are looking for things to pick at.
And B, you're uneducated.
And B, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid, dude.
And here's the thing. Before Elon Musk bought X, every liberal lunatic thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now he owns X. He's putting the truth out there about all of the lies that were told. And now he's this terrible human being. Terrible human being. Terrible human being.
Here's what I want to do, though. I want that Epstein list.
I do too.
I want the Epstein
list. They released the Diddy list. And look, dude, did you see the Diddy list? You know, there's a whole lot of people that left the country right after Diddy got arrested. And a lot of those people are on that list.
Let me tell you something, dude. Take out the garbage.
Yeah.
Take out the trash.
Burn it down.
You know? And here's the other thing. I'm going to speak this truly. And I don't think I've hidden this at all. I am so fed up with the LGBTQ nonsense. I'm done with it. I have no cares. I don't.
It's a fruitless battle.
No, it's just
is what it is. It's just a fruitless battle.
It's just nonsense. Look, and what I firmly believe that as one of the things that should be done is clarifying that there is only two genders. It's at birth. Period.
I feel a little differently than you, and I'll tell you why. That's how okay. I feel. I'll tell you how I feel. I'm a man of faith, Reggie, and I believe the same things that you believe, but I'm also an American. And I also understand that we have a Bill of Rights. Now, if you want to dress up, if you're a guy and you want to dress up as a girl and call yourself a girl, okay, man, that's your right to do that. I can't stop you. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to look at you as a foolish human being. And
well, I'm not saying illegal.
But what I'm saying, but here's what I'm saying. Homosexual, transgender, at the end of your run, you got to answer for what you do, right? We all know that. My thing is, let's move on in the general sense of you had your run to try to change everything. You had your run. You tried to steal sports from women. And you know, one of the best things I've ever heard was from an actual comedian who said, if this was a gender thing, like there would also be women lining up to participate in men's sports, and they're not.
No, they tried a couple of times. Well, let me clarify what I mean by this. I absolutely do not want legalistic or policies around sexual activity other than child stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Influencing child stuff, making that, I mean, no, it's the same. Like if you have to wait till you're 18 to get a tattoo, if you can't drive until you're 16, if you can't own a firearm until you're 18, if you can't drink until you're 21, you certainly cannot choose your anything gender until later on. That's all I'm saying. That absolutely should be illegal. I'm just saying that I don't care what you think about this, by the way. I'm just saying that's from my standpoint. Get anything that associates with orientation outside of the schools, outside of education. Stop it. You can talk about the medical biology of things. But leave the orientation stuff, leave instructional stuff, any of that crap, all needs to be just stricken from everywhere.
Well, it needs to be left to the parents.
Well, but not, I am not going to pay, my taxes should not, I will die on that hill. My money that I put toward the gut should not be put towards that, period.
Yeah. Like I'm at this point where it used to be that the transgender, the LGBTQ community was forcing this narrative. And now I've got a little different view on it now that we're a little deeper into the subject. I got a feeling that they're now living off the fact that others are holding on to the narrative.
I believe so.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
And I think it's time to just let that go. Because we're keep, not we're as you and I, but in general as society, we're keeping that alive. They're not trying anymore. So let it go, right?
Well, I don't have anything. Look, I don't care.
Yeah, neither do I.
I really don't. But what I do care about is the kids.
Yes, absolutely.
And the reason why that's such a big deal is if you have such a high rate of certain things with that kind of person, then no, I don't want more people going that way.
Well, and on top of it, let's just look at the facts. All the studies have come out. People that transition from male to female or female to male, the suicide rate remains the same.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was trying not to say that word because it gets.
Well, I'm sorry. Bleep me. Send me a letter. Turn me into the thought police. Whatever you want to do. But what I'm saying is, we now know that nothing changes. The same problems exist.
Yeah, it doesn't fix anything.
If anything, you've compiled more problems on top of it. Because imagine that you're sexually confused. And in an extreme move, you have a surgery where you will never have sexual satisfaction, sexual pleasure. You are infertile. Now you've compounded it with a haystack full of other problems.
Yeah. But that's the thing, dude. I don't seek any ill will towards anybody like that. Right. I mean, that's not it at all. I know quite a few who are not, the same as I am, but, I get along fine. It's not that.
Yeah.
Again, it's not like I go and beat somebody up over the, with a Bible and go, oh, blah, you burn in hell, blah, blah, blah. No, yeah. I don't do
Which is the absolute wrong way to do it. So
I'm just saying like, but we have to protect our kids.
Children
we
have to influence.
Yeah. We have to influence our kids in a positive manner.
If my 13-year-old son came to me and said, Dad, I think I'm a girl. Would I laugh them off and ignore them? No. Basically, what I would sit down with them and say is, look, you're 13, you're in puberty, you're confused, your body's doing all kinds of crazy things, you don't know what's going on, you're seeing a lot of stuff, you're hearing a lot of stuff, you know, and I would have an honest conversation about that, right? And I would discourage them from doing anything to change their body, anything to change the narrative, simply because it's going to compound into more problems. And secondly, it's perpetuating a lie. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to perpetuate a lie. I just won't do it. I don't care how comfortable it makes anybody.
I'm irritated because that's even a conversation right now.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Like why we have to be guessing that what bathroom you use and all that. It's just absurd. But anyway, so getting back to this, the whole thing for me is just that now we have a majority in the Senate, not 60, though. It takes 60 to get something in the Senate. So,
yeah,
but you have still a majority in the Senate. You have a majority in the House. You have the presidency and you have Supreme Court justices who are constitutionally minded.
Not to mention there is a slew of federal appointees about to happen, which Trump is going to appoint all those judges. Right. So you're now got, not only do you have the Supreme Court and you have two justices that are toying with retirement, which will give him a chance to put two more in, which will give us one more on the conservative side. Okay. But you have this America spoke, dude, the people spoke. We're tired of the nonsense. We're tired of the garbage. We're tired of people trying to force their ideals on us. Let's just get back to living our lives.
This is the whole libertarian idea of like live and let live. Leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do. This is exactly what most of the people want. Leave me alone. Don't bother me with nonsense.
And the thing is, this is not new. I mean, we can go back through history and look at.
It's not.
Let's take a look at PETA. I mean, for how many years did PETA harangue millions of people for wanting to eat meat? Guess what? More people are eating meat now than they were before because you can't force people. You can't coerce and force people to do something out of anger, spite, or or a need for independence. You have to give people the ability to think on their own, and you have to give people the ability to act on their own. And what happened at this election was very simple. We heard nonsense, we saw nonsense, and we recognized nonsense. Right. And the people came out and spoke. We don't want any more nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, look, but they have a big job to do, and there's big promises that need to be made, that there, need there to is. Be kept. Right.
Trump has got a very powerful and heavy burden to bear right now.
And look, the thing is too, that's not even counting the foreign affairs that have to be taken care of. Or have to be at least interjected in a little bit between, you know, Xi Jinping,
North Korea, Hezbollah, Russia, Ukraine, Hezbollah and Israel.
But you know, that's the thing. I don't, and we'll see how all that pans out, because I mean, it may not matter who's in office for that stuff.
Here's the thing, right? And just to give a little perspective. Trump won, and I'm very glad he won. I voted for Trump. I was glad he won. But if Kamala would have won, I still would have got up the next morning, put my shoes on, went to work, been kind to anybody I spoke to, tried to show compassion.
You're telling me you wouldn't have like dyed your hair and like
no.
got a nose piercing and started crying in TikTok?
No. And it's the same either way. Like, look, sometimes your team wins and sometimes your team loses. Sometimes your team loses every game. Sometimes your team wins every game. In 4 years, if there's an unquoted mass of people out there that feel like this election was a sham and nobody should have, you'll get your chance in 4 years to speak.
Well, hey, put up somebody who's actually makes sense.
Yeah. I hope for the Democratic Party's sake, for the actual Democratic Party, not the hard left. I'm talking about, there's a lot of centrist Democrats out there. I hope you guys can pick someone who can speak intelligently. If it's a woman, great. I am not against a woman president. I actually think that would be probably interesting to see happen.
I don't care,
but I'm not against it though. Right. Like I'm not like there should never be a woman president. There should never. No. If you can put somebody out there who can speak eloquently, has good ideas, good policies, is looking to unify America, then by all means, put them out there.
I don't know. I have a problem with a woman president, bro. I'll be honest.
I don't, man.
I do. Okay. I've never known a woman who was not emotionally affected, that's how I'll say, where logic didn't take a backseat to emotion in most instances.
I'm going to say this. You know, you might take a kick in the ass for that one.
No, sorry. I don't care.
I couldn't help. Yeah, I just
don't care.
For me, it's not a matter of that. If you've got a woman out there and who's a woman of moral principles, and who is,
I'm not saying that's not what I'm saying. I mean, I don't say that they can't be that dude. I'm just saying, if you're talking about,
I do not,
it's not that big a deal for me. Okay. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just like, if you said, if all the playing fields were equal and like you had a man and a woman and their qualifications and everything were the same and they had the same agendas, the same, they said the same words, I'd pick the man. That's all I'm saying. Like now is that, well, if there was a female who had some great ideas and everything and the counter to that was some bumbling buffoon, then yeah, I'm going to pick the woman.
Yeah. But I will say I don't have a problem voting for a woman.
Well, that's like, not what I didn't mean. Okay.
I think just like we have to have balance in politics as opposed to party and as opposed to beliefs. I believe we should have some equal balance amongst gender, just in the sense of there's going to be some people like there's some of the best women I know are some of the most hard-edged women that you'll ever meet, in the sense of they have a hard line for their morals. They're not going to allow for nonsense in their homes, in their lives. You know,
But biologically, we should have more men at the top because of just the way men are wired. They're more competitive. They're more aggressive. But by and large, that's what happens.
Well, that's true.
It's the same thing that Jordan Peterson argues all the time. That's going to happen because it's just the nature of men versus women.
Well, that goes back to the whole argument of the wage gap.
Well, I know that the wage gap doesn't exist because
the wage gap's not a real thing, because when the people who are standing up saying women make 77 cents on the dollar as to what men make, they're only picking a mathematical equation to run behind. They're not looking at the variables involved. And I think it's the same way in politics.
Well, yeah. He uses the famous one. I love it because I mean I know it very well. Is bricklayers? Well, there's 99% of the bricklayers are men. So why aren't women more bricklayers?
Why are there not more women on the oil rigs?
Right.
I mean that's not a challenge. It's not. And hey, if I go on an oil rig and there's a chick on there, you know, turning wrenches and doing great, awesome.
But she better be doing it, man. That's the thing. Some of these positions are so physical that, it goes to the bottom. Oh, okay, look, we're getting let's get back on this. So, look, the thing about this crew with the new Trump administration, again, what for you, if they don't fulfill their promises, dude, if they don't come across and get all this stuff straight and do what they're saying, what then? What then, Brian?
I don't know that there is a what then, Reg, to be honest with you. I mean, they either fail or you don't fail. It's an A or an F for me, right? You're not going to get a C at this point. There's too many expectations. Like, you know, 10 years ago, we might have gotten a C when it comes to what people are doing in our government. But our government has become this self-fulfilling prophecy of, you know, you fail or you succeed. And I think that if Trump only comes through with 50% of his promises, they'll roast him over the 50% he didn't accomplish regardless of whether the country's in a better spot. So when I say he's got big shoes to fill, he better get out his Barry Bonds home run record bat and start killing some. Because if he doesn't show up in the way that he said he was going to show up, unfortunately, regardless of whatever good he does, that will be his legacy for half the country, is he didn't do what he said he was going to do.
So I'm a little conflicted. So I'm going to bring in a Christian thing here.
Do it.
Because it's something I've been thinking about quite a bit. You know, God appoints our leaders. Good or bad, there's reasons for it that happened. I mean, it's... You can feel free to check me on that. But it's true.
I don't need to check you on that, bro.
God seems to work in cycles of 2,000 years in our reality that we have outside of the spiritual realm, because we're talking about the physical space that we live in. So I would expect that, and you do see that as a decline of our kind of thing of moving away from God, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it almost made more sense to me that Kamala would have gotten the presidency than Trump in a way. Right. So what I question is this like the lull before the storm kind of thing?
No, I think, you know, Biden was the decline. And here's why I say that. The unfolding of events that happened starting pre-COVID, that first month or two, all the way through COVID, where Biden ran an absolute travesty of a campaign, and regardless of that travesty of a campaign, and regardless of the fact that even then he was showing signs of cognitive decline, he was elected. And then it was just a downhill rolling turd rolled in snow from the beginning, from day one, just going downhill, you know, and then the blame game started within days of him being in office. Everything that they did over the last 4 years, they blamed on Donald Trump. I don't know how any normal person could hear everything that they said and be like, y'all are just stupid. Like you can't get anything done. So you're just playing the blame game. And then you saw for a while, the legacy media cannibalizing its own heroes. Kamala Harris became, you know, the enemy number one. Yeah. All of the legacy media was calling her the worst Well, she was. She was the worst rated vice president ever. You know, Biden and his, it almost became a self-fulfilling prophecy of what is he going to do stupid next? What stupid thing is he going to say? What off-color remark is he going to pitch? You know, and then when the election was coming up and Trump was literally skyrocketing through the polls, pardon my French, but the Democratic Party had a holy shit moment. What have we done? We've allowed this doddering, dementia-riddled old man who, by the way, I don't blame Joe Biden for that. I blame his family. You knew what was happening to that man. You knew what was going on, and you allowed it. Every one of you should be prosecuted.
Especially his wife.
Especially his wife, who basically made herself the belle of the ball, being in Vogue magazine and attending, you know, policy meetings and things like that. You don't have no business in there. And the only reason you were in there, lady, was because you were afraid of what your husband was going to say.
Yes.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, 14 and a half million people vote to reelect this doddering old man. And his party, by his party, I mean Obama, stepped in and was like, hey, Joe, get out or we're going to go the 25th Amendment on you and force you out that way. And then they go, right? And they say, well, we'll just plug Kamala in, this person that we all called inadequate, ignorant, poor in performance, is now the darling of the ball. So now what we have to do is turn around and sell someone that we told everybody was a complete moron as the second coming of John F. Kennedy. And they failed. And the reason they failed is because I truly believe that Trump surviving two assassination attempts was God's way of saying, not this time.
Okay, I understand. But what there's, okay, let me back up a little bit. There, you hear, I've heard this plenty of times where it's like, well, this was God acting and kind of to like spank the U.S. from drawing away from him. So that's why we had the last 4 years of that we did and all this stuff. No, let me just say no. If God's going to do that to a country, there's no question about that. There's none whatsoever. Biblically speaking, when God acts in that way, it's fire brimstone type of stuff. It's annihilation kind of stuff. It's not that. During the times of the judges, you did see some of this stuff, and you'd have a judge come around. They would bring everything back and do all that. But you never saw like a, I mean, really, when he does a retributive type of action, it's not a question.
I will disagree with that in one way, and I take you back to Moses.
Okay, right? What about Moses?
Moses didn't want to do God's work. He thought he wasn't smart enough. He thought he wasn't good enough. And God came to Moses in the burning bush, and he manifested an event that he knew over time would change the direction of his chosen people.
Yeah.
He didn't force it to happen right now. He didn't go into Egypt and rain sulfur, right? I think there are definitely times like Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood where God said, yeah, no.
Well, okay, but what I'm saying is,
I think there has also been times where God has said, you know what? My people are straying, and I think my people are straying because the earth is the devil's playground and the devil's playing a little too loud. So I need to take my thumb and put it on the scale to bring us back into line.
But that's not a,
do you know what I'm saying?
That's not the kind of thing I'm talking about.
I don't think Biden, what happened with Biden was some kind of, you know, lesson that Christ was trying to teach us. I think that was, the devil's digging his heels in.
But see, again, God, I'm not saying God isn't sovereign. That God has his hand in everything. I mean, let's just be real here. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there were sentiments from certain Christians and prominent ones who said, you know, this is a penance or something like that.
Yeah,
or
I don't think that's it at all. No, if he's going to burn you, he's going to burn you.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I'm not talking about like the last 4 years didn't serve his purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I completely wouldn't deny that at all. Like the last 4 years were on purpose.
Yeah. They were to teach us something.
But what I do think, though, is it's supposed to be a lot worse, bro, before Jesus comes back. So that's my thing about this whole, and this is why I questioned, like, okay, well, I really kind of halfway thought, well, if Kamala gets in, then we're really on the road to that, you know, the return of Christ from the heavens, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I still think, I mean, it's not that we're not going to that far, but I wonder, because look, this gets into Revelation territory, which is like the most heavily debated metaphorical biblical text that has a lot of nuance and a lot, it has so much in it, so that it's there's really not a consensus that is, you know, anywhere about everything about the book of Revelation.
Yeah,
but it is part of the canon. It is there for a reason. It is a legit Bible or book of the Bible. So that's all I was saying is like it towards the end times when he is going to come back, it has this decline and you have his return and all this stuff. So it's one of those things where it could be rationale. There's just something on the floor there. I don't know what that is, but yeah.
That'd be okay.
I know. But anyway, that's all I was like about this election was that.
Well, and that was on my mind. And that's where something for me, that's why I'm still very leery. You know, over the last year and a half, I've heard a lot of this, you know, revelatory end times talk.
I know. It was all the time.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still leery of making that call in the sense that he was very clear. I will come as a thief in the night.
Right.
So I think it's very dangerous to look at, because it's very easy to draw parallels, right? Like if you're looking for a parallel, you'll find it. Right. You'll find a way. And I've seen some of these TikTok preachers who have drawn some pretty drastically redonkulous parallels, but somehow they got there. So I think part of it is this whole, we need to get away from this. Again, our job is the Great Commission. Our job is not to predict when Christ is coming or prognosticate when Christ is coming. I guarantee you, in the list of priorities that Christ has for his followers right now, prognosticating his return isn't even on the list. So for me, I think that we have seen his hand for sure.
Well, I think that you mentioned it. The assassination attempts are.
Yeah.
I believe those are divine, bro. I mean.
Well, I now, mean, think about it. I mean, in all those rallies that Trump was at, he never used graphs. He never used all that stuff like he was doing. And so I think that I don't think that anything is coincidence. Right. So I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
So I do believe that there is a divine hand in his election. Now, to what degree that divine hand is working in it, I've thought about it and I've kind of tried to get into some things where I can, but what I really have just come back to is I think that we had strayed off of our path and he said, nope. We gotta start going back this way. Now, whether going back this way leads us to his coming, okay.
Well, it's all leading there. I mean,
but what I'm saying is this, I'm very leery to draw parallels to attach things to the coming of Christ. I think it's also a scary thing too. And I think a lot of this, one of the reasons why you've seen a very hard pushback against the church is because of all these people that are rolling out and they're like, this is a sign. He's coming. Here's why the Bible says this. And this pineapple was on the table behind them. And this fruit was talked about here. So here's dude, just do your job, man. Do what he assigns you to do. But I will tell you that I agree that there has been a divine hand in this, but I don't know to what, because I mean, I'll never know because I'm not God. So to what degree it's been pushed towards, but I will say that something I do think that has come from this is, I don't think this is a pushback to conservative value. I think this is a pushback to, hey, more people than not want us to get along and have a peaceful country without war and without, you know, without poverty and without people suffering. And this person was the one who had the plan to accomplish these things to whatever degree. So we're going to pick this guy because we're really just worn out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I talked to so many people and it's amazing. I talked to even some very liberal people and they all said the same thing. We're just sick and tired of Fox and MSNBC and the New York Times and the Washington Post and Breitbart and all these people sowing dissension. And that's what this has really been for 4 years, has been this sowing of dissension. Who can we pit against who now? Right. And that's what I think is really shameful is, you know, I have a cousin and this guy's really a story of redemption and recovery. And Brian, if you're listening, I think you have the podcast. Thank you for listening. He's been through some stuff, man. Went through some really hard times and I have a great deal of admiration because he persevered. He's a godly man and found, you know, marriage and family and all of these things that were not of avail to him at that point. And he persevered. He suffered to get there and he suffered it with a glad heart and a loving disposition. And that is where we all need to be, right? Look, I don't care if you're LGBTQ, you're gay, you're straight. I don't care if you think you're, you know, a phoenix, whatever it is that you are. As hard as this is going to be for you to believe hearing this from me, if you've never met me, I love you and I believe in you even if you don't, because that's what I've been called to do. And there's power within you to be an agent for change and unity. I believe it's through the love of God and Christ and living a morally centered life, which your roadmap being a Bible. But even if you don't believe that, I'm still going to love you because I'm called to do it. I'm still going to treat you with respect. I'm still going to treat you like, you know, love your neighbor, right? That's but what that, it calls
that,
for.
And I think so, that that's the whole thing about all of the rhetoric behind it and all the name calling and especially, you know, throwing out Nazi and fascist and all this stuff. I mean, all that does is just sow hatred.
I really wish that all these people that throw out things like fascist and Nazi, and I really wish you would study before you use those words. Because when you use those words and you use them without knowledge and you use them because they're buzzwords that you heard in a speech somewhere or you heard a very passionate friend use, I really wish you would look though the definition of those words up, because it's really easy for me to look at somebody I don't know and go, well, you're just a fascist. But do you, if I asked you to define fascism for me by definition, would you be able to do that? Right? Would you be able to tell me what a Marxist is? Would you be able to tell me what socialism actually is, communism, all those things? Or are you just using those words because they're very powerful, stinging words that gain you street cred?
That have an emotional context.
Yeah, they're very emotional. If when I use the word Marxist, I don't get emotional about it. It's just a word, and I know the definition of what Marxism is.
I mean, I don't like it.
I don't know. No, nobody wants to be no Marxist. If anybody knew that, if you sat down and read Karl Marx's, you know, his dreams and wishes of what the world would become, I don't think any normal human would go, yeah, that's what I want to do. It's now when I say normal human, there's some nutty kind of psycho crazy people. I mean, I've known
people who actually wanted communism.
Yeah, right? Sure. Like
they literally wanted to have a communist society.
But I also understand it in the sense too that when those people that want communism usually can't run their own lives.
Well, they look at it as like a whole of like a vehicle to which the whole span of humanity can work together towards a purpose.
Yeah.
But they negate the fact that we're not all the same. We don't have the same ideas.
On top of the fact that socialism has failed 100% of the time it's been implemented because it takes away
the agency of the people.
Well, but it also takes away, you know, development and growth and being invention and you know, all these entrepreneurs would vanish under socialism because no, you know, and you know, I feel that people I also think that these hard lefties who are melting down online are perfect examples of people that don't understand the concepts of which they speak. They just speak them because, you know, I want them to be this, or I want them to be that, or my friends are this, or I want to fit in. I don't want to be ostracized by my peer group. And let me be clear, man, if your peer group, if you've chosen a peer group that pressures you to go against your natural instinct because you want to be popular, I would very much encourage you to pick a different peer group.
Well, anyway, look, here's we have a new, we have some new leadership.
We do. And we still have 60 days of.
But okay. But here's, I just want to put this out here though, because I think this is something that you're seeing now. Instead of trying to do things to better for the people in the last 60 days of the administration, they are full-fledged high priority. What their highest priority is getting that last billions of dollars to the Ukraine.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to fix anything like Kamala even said was all these issues that she needed to fix.
Yeah.
So instead of doing any of that, that is their highest priority is this Ukraine thing.
You know, I encourage all these people that listen to Kamala and believed her. Watch what she does over the next 60 days. She's still the vice president of the United States. Until Trump is sworn in. She is still the vice president of the United States. So keep an eye on her. Watch what she does. Listen to what she says, you know, and then watch whether her actions followed her words. I don't think they will. I think what you've got is two rogue agents in our government who are going to do the very best they can for the next 60 days to push as many of their woke ideologue agendas as they can. In any way they can, legal absolutely. Or not.
Absolutely.
So I really would encourage all these people that are having meltdowns. You know, Kamala said she wanted to close the borders and she wanted to make life easier for Americans. Let's see if she even attempts to do that in the next 60 days. You know, if I was the president or the vice president of the United States and I realized I only had 60 days left to make an impact, you would bet I would be working my butt off for those 60 days to make as big an impact as I could for the American people.
I know. Well, but it's not going to happen.
I know, but what I'm encouraging is lefties, they just watch.
I know, but they won't get that out of it, dude.
You know, they won't. And here's the thing too. Even going back to Carter and Reagan, if you look at the kind of zealot-like following that Carter had, this is not new, right? This is not a new thing. Obama zealot, you know, even Bush Jr.'s had some real zealots behind him that were behind even some of the policies that weren't great that he instituted. So one of the things I would encourage people who are probably, you know, adrenal exhausted from listening to all this is, you're not the first people to suffer this, and you won't be the last. There will always be a segment of our society that's pushing for overhaul in the worst way, right? So, you know, it's unfortunate. It really is, Reggie. It's unfortunate that we have to endure it, but it's also I think good for us to always know that they're there so that we can be well educated and well prepared for what's coming. Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, you got, so, this is, you just said it, be aware.
Yeah.
But we can't be aware if you're asleep or if you're just willfully ignorant.
Yeah. And one thing I will also tell you to do, and I hear a lot of this too, and this is from conservatives and liberals. Well, I'm just going to stop paying attention. I'm not watching anymore. Well, that's stupid too. You live in this country. What happens in this country affects you.
Yeah.
Be a citizen. And unfortunately, citizen doesn't mean show up and exist. It means to protect and serve your country, even if you're not in the military, even if you're not, you know, in the government. We are still called to for a sacred duty as American citizens to serve and protect our fellow citizens and to serve and protect the sovereignty of our nation. And if you're turning a blind eye and you're just throwing your hands up and saying, I don't want to do any of it. I'm sick of it all. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm never going to talk about politics again. That's the wrong direction to go in.
Well, especially as a Christian, let me make this. This is, I saw this a lot the last couple of months about Christians, like, you know, being very like, oh, it doesn't, you should not even, it doesn't matter. Neither one of these candidates are blah, blah, blah. I mean, I could name out all kinds of rhetoric that was going on about this. And even throwing out that whole, like, don't be a Christian nationalist, kind of thing.
Can you dude, explain something to me for a second?
Yeah.
What exactly, and I've heard about 8 different definitions, but what is your definition of a Christian nationalist?
Well, see, that's the thing, man. I just wouldn't even say that. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't really make any sense.
Well, it doesn't line up. The whole phrase within itself is kind of self-eliminating.
I mean,
right?
I'm a citizen of a country there, and a country that gives me agency with voting privileges to choose our leadership.
That would be a Christian nationalist.
I'm also a Christian, so my belief system and worldview and perspective is wrapped around the gospel.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't I use the agency that I have the right to use to pick whoever is closest to my Christian perspective?
Yeah.
I don't even, that doesn't even make any sense to me, but it's like a bad word, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I mean, I don't even look at, like, we've talked about this before. I'll say it really clear again. I don't look at politics as the end game.
No.
It's just, it's a vehicle. I don't have any doubt about that.
It's something
that
is enduring in our existence and that we need to keep an eye on because it can be both very beneficial and both very destructive.
Yeah, I mean, but again, I see the government. I don't trust the government. I haven't trusted the government. Even when Trump was in, I didn't trust the government. I mean, come on. I have. That's not who I am. I do not do that.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't trusted the government since.
But.
Well, I was okay. Even through the Clinton administration, I was okay because the country was heading in the right direction, you know, debt-wise.
And even though he did a bunch of things that ended being terrible.
Well, he did do a bunch of moral, but that's between him and God and his wife and his
family. Well, no, but even like the way he did with the housing market, yeah, the way he did the banking systems and stuff.
But it really started for me in Bush Jr.'s administration when I saw Cheney being a war hawk and profiting billions of dollars off of us being in Afghanistan and rallying for war, a war that he knew was never going to really end with anybody winning. It never has. It never will. Bible says those countries will war until his return. It's just the way it is. I don't believe that there will ever be 100% peace in the Middle East. I just don't think there will.
Yeah.
I think there might be periods of peace, but I don't think you'll ever have extended lifelong peace.
Well, in the Middle East. You have a certain group of people who wants to annihilate the other.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's not like a little bit. Like their whole mission is to annihilate every last one of them.
Yeah, and when we went from you know, the war hawk Cheney and the sort of kind of absent-mindedness of Bush to Obama and his need to just torch racism, and we had put most of that fire out at least for a while. And he poured kerosene and threw 88 lit matches on it and just stepped on the gas to say, and basically he refired this whole racism rhetoric that was in our country that, you know, I look back at the 90s, Reggie, I didn't really, race wasn't really an issue then. I mean,
no,
I not mean, like it is now, no, it just, right? Look, and then I think Obama refired that up, and then you went into Trump, who I'm still not a huge Trump fan as a person. I never will be. There's just a lot of questionable things that he's done and a lot of things he's said that are just unnecessary, and he's very divisive
at times. He's sensational.
And he does a lot of things that I find are breaks in his character. And then going right into Biden and the whole cell of lies that was, you know, inoculations and vaccines and the basically the suppressing of the American people through mandates and things that were just completely unnecessary. And we now know never should have happened. And I still believe that the damage from that, we'll be seeing that for the next 50 years. You guys, I'm not a Trump zealot. I really am not. But I'm an America First zealot.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's, we want to prosper.
Yeah.
And do the best we can to be able to influence and strive for what's better.
Yeah.
You can't do that when you're under the thumb of some tyrannical ideals.
Yeah.
Or coercion or whatever. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we're looking at. But I think that at the end of the day, whether I don't care what you call me, a Christian nationalist or not, I mean, politics is not the end of the road. It's a vehicle for things that we have. God is completely sovereign and is in everything we do, especially in our governments and our way we're led and everything else. That's all for a reason. You know, I'm looking at my kids and, you know, 10, 12 years from now when they're, well, probably, I don't know how long it'd be, who knows, but you know, in a decade or so when my kids are out in the workforce and everything else, I want them to be able to go out and make things happen. Yeah. And they can't do that if we're on the track that we're on.
Yeah.
That's where I was at. I mean, now, do I think that there's still, global powers and stuff that are kind of trying to puppet the global world
cabals and all those things?
I absolutely do. Now, I think that, Do I completely think that Trump is not one of them? No, I don't. I mean, I still have doubts about some of this stuff just because of who he was connected to, the money he had, all the dealings he did before he was ever even president. So look, guys, this is the thing. Like, I think there's always, you should always be looking out and you got to put the pieces together from a lot of different places. But again, if you're just looking at mainstream media, you're missing out. And this election should show you that the mainstream media wasn't what did any good. Yeah. They didn't do anything.
Legacy media was just a complete flop.
No, I mean, like, it was the independent media sources that did the effort that made this happen.
And let me be clear. And I say this in full confidence that in the next 8 to 12 years, the podcast, the long form conversational podcast, will become where everyone gets their news.
Yeah, I mean, probably, but I think there's still a need for news, right?
Yeah, but the problem is what we have now isn't news.
That's not, I know that. That's why
we don't have any Walter Cronkites, right? We got a bunch of people that want to.
I think propaganda is different than it was, yeah. And I think it's more ferocious than it was back in like Cronkite's days. But I didn't live through that time period. Like,
I mean, think about this. Rachel Maddow, who has been fined and all other manners of discipline for reporting false news, has attempted now to come up with another Russian narrative that she has no facts for, nothing that she can provide that's evidence, but it's spectacular. and the outliers will listen.
That's part of the thing that the
and they will adopt that as their part of their, you know, ideology.
That's part of the, they've said, you know, the Trump, RFK and Musk and all them have said one of their things is to alleviate the political influences into the news and all that stuff to make that where it's not as prevalent. I don't know how you do that, but
well, anyway, I think it starts with what RFK said, you know, taking the FDA, taking the USDA, taking the CDC and the NIH and saying no more, no more money from.
Well, see those news channels, right? Those the licenses they have to use those airwaves and stuff isn't, they don't pay anything for those.
No, they don't.
So, I mean, I think one way you could do it is like, look, if you continually use propagandist methodology, you lose your news license.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, now who adjudicates that, right? That's the other thing.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's a whole
you don't want a Gestapo or anything like that, but.
No. But there's always a means to control the situation, right? So we just need to find that means.
But even now, if you just listen to the mainstream news, they show you a clip of something saying Trump said this. You can go to the source. That's the thing now. Currently, really, there's really nothing hidden. And it doesn't take long to go find the source. So if they say someone said this and they give you a little clip, go find that.
And listen to the whole thing.
Well, or at least the context of it.
Well,
you can do that.
We
and people don't.
We are the only people on the planet that we literally have 100% of all information ever cataloged in our pocket. Yet we choose to listen to people who can't provide us with anything that would be considered a fact that we can look up in the giant library that's in our pocket, right? Like it's just like the whole Trump, you know, said he was going to have the military come kick your door. He never said that.
Right. And he never said Liz Cheney was, he never threatened Liz Cheney.
No,
he never did all this.
Called her a war hawk, which is what she is.
Yeah. So, but I guess what I'm saying is like, you know, I would say just be observant. I'm saying I still say don't trust the government. They need to earn that trust back.
Yes, the government needs to earn our trust.
You know, I'm still vigilant. I'll just make that plain. I don't care who's in office. I'm still vigilant. I'm still on edge with government.
Yeah.
Until, like I said, until drastic things happen to where they really go above and beyond and kind of really say, oh, we're actually working for you. Then I'll maybe ease up my vigilance a little bit. And even then, probably not, because I'm just that way. But anyway, we're probably going to, I would really think we're going to move the hopefully we can not. Yeah,
we're steering away from politics now. I think it's time for us to get back to talking about things that can be applicable in life and very interesting subjects and things that you and I actually enjoy talking about.
Well, there's a couple things, Brian, I think for coming up that I want to get into. The Chris Landon, who's the quote unquote smartest man in the world, his theories about his theory of everything and his multi simulation stuff has.
I think that would be great.
I think we need to talk about that because that's very interesting.
I'd like to have I'd like to talk about, you know, maybe do an episode on restoring community.
Yeah. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
We should dig into Michael Heiser and his unseen realm and demon angel stuff.
I'd also like to do some stuff on, you know, near death experiences, things like that. I think that would be really interesting. But
which I have,
I've actually been really reading up on a lot of that.
I have you know, there's a mountain of books that I have yet to get to.
I've got two that are on my audiobooks that I'm about to listen to.
I think that's where we're going to start going. And so, I mean, just, we'll probably still peck at politics here and
from
there.
From time to time. But
that's not really the root of our show, though.
If I was to give any advice at this point, election's over. We can't change it. Kamala gave her speech. She's stepping down. I thought that was... I thought she did the right thing by going out there and saying we need to have a peaceful transfer of power. I will give her some credit. She could have went out there and just threw out there some fiery rhetoric and threw some people into a tizzy, but she didn't. I thought her concession speech was a little bit wordy, but I thought if she would have spoke like that on the campaign, she probably would have got more votes.
That's true.
But... just be nice. Just be kind to each other, man. Just be kind. Just love your neighbors. If somebody's struggling, don't judge them.
Well, but
talk with them.
But here, okay, right? We need to. Here's the thing about conversations with people.
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference between party affiliation and actually like caring about the country and the communities and stuff. I don't believe for a second that any of the people I know that are intellectual that are very liberal don't care about the communities and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think that having discussions about policies, having discussions about methodology and stuff like that, that's a worthy thing. It's not, it doesn't have to be left versus right kind of conversation.
No,
you can just discuss like, well, how do we fix this? How would you, anyway, one last thing. I was delighted to have Karen Engelman win.
Yes.
over Sarah Blessing.
I think she did. I think that was wonderful.
That was a big, and it wasn't even a small margin.
Yeah, and that's not saying anything, Karen. Although Karen Engelman is my family, I just she's a great person, and she's a great representation of what it is to be.
Well, look, I know Sarah. Okay, I know her family. Not like, well, it's been ages ago, but when I was younger, I knew him a lot more. But I think Sarah had her heart's in the right place, as far as like caring and stuff. But yeah. but she was it's way into the left side of things, far, and I just couldn't back that up. I don't dislike Sarah. I don't have anything really. I hope she can, I don't know, like find some reality maybe in some of this stuff. The same thing I would tell to any of my people, the acquaintances that are left leaning. I mean, but again, though, I'm at the stage of my life though, where most of the left people who knew me really well, who I cherished, have chosen to not associate themselves with me anymore because of both. I'm a conservative minded liberal. I call myself a libertarian more than anything, but a libertarian Christian. And that's just offensive to them. So I'm past the point where I really, you know, care that much about that. But
there's the truth. If I meet you and we strike up a conversation, the last thing I care about is your party affiliation.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, political stuff is really kind of, I mean, it is what it is.
I want to know, who are you? What's your background? I'm trying to figure out whether we can have a friendship and be two people that communicate. And, you know, regardless of what you are or what you perceive yourself to be, I'm just interested in getting to know you as a person. Right. Like before we start talking about party affiliation or faith, I've been very vocal about this. I think that's the biggest mistake that the Christian church makes right now is we forget to get to know the person before we try to tell them about Jesus. You got to get to know somebody. You got to put some time in. Right. And that's what I really want is, hey, let's get to know each other. You know, maybe we won't be best of friends, but it doesn't mean that we can't have a cordial and civil relationship.
Yeah. I mean,
so
anyway, thanks y'all. We're hopeful for the next, at least 2 years when we have the Congress and Senate stuff, we'll see how it goes. I mean, again, we'll be as critical to that as I've been with the Biden administration.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think me or Brian both will let will not say our piece about any of that stuff, but and we'll stay. I mean, I would just suggest that, and I don't care who's president, be vigilant and just watch out and utilize your agency for your voice, and especially primaries. Like, don't forget that primaries are probably, if you don't like the candidates, that's where you get to pick them, you know?
Yeah.
Don't stay away from the primary vote, man. Utilize it. So, well, that's all for today.
Yeah.
Brian, appreciate everybody's time. Yeah. Looking forward to the next
adventure that we're going to go on. Yeah. There's plenty for us to cover.
We're R&B Talks.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.